There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Just want to say that we've waited 2 years for God to get justice for us on behalf of our son. And as always, God has proved to be faithful. And we're so thrilled that we have the verdict that we have tonight. And thank you guys for being so compassionate and treating us with respect and honoring us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that was the mother of Chad Littlefield. Guilty verdict in the American Sniper trial. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Big, big, big verdict. It happened, as I said, later in the evening. Eddie Ray Ralph now has been sentenced to life in prison without parole, so the Texas jury found him guilty of capital murder in the 2013 shooting death of former Navy SEAL Chris Kyle, who you all know, the American Sniper, of American Sniper fame, etc., and his friend Chad Littlefield. The Littlefield family overwhelmed. Taya Kyle, who was also in the courtroom, left right before all of that happened, and this has been 2 years coming, and there have been some really wild twists and turns in this story, but I think this is absolutely the right verdict, personally, because it is such a tragedy as to what happened to these two men, especially given that they were trying to help him, taking him to the range, and then the heinous way he just absolutely murdered them, and just the shock for the families and anybody else who knew these two men, and even people who didn't know these two men. They definitely worked their way into the minds and hearts of a lot of people, especially with Chris Kyle being celebrated as the so-called hero, because he was a hero, because of the amount of Marines and even other people that he saved doing what he was recruited to do in the military, and the amount of times that he deployed, 4 times total over the course of his career, and what a sad ending to that. And the family, the Littlefield family, taking it even one step further, because of course there's no apology, there's no I didn't mean to do it or whatever. I don't think you could say I didn't mean to do it, but apologies to the family or anything like that from Eddie Ray Ralph. So then what ends up happening is the Chad Littlefield's father goes up to Ralph and says, "You didn't even know his name. Let me spell it for you." And he went through and spelled his entire name and said he should be ashamed of himself for trying to seek an insanity plea. And, you know, this is it. So he's been sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Prosecutors hadn't gone after the death penalty in the case. Now, Roth's defense team, they're saying, "We're going to appeal the conviction. They're going to appeal the conviction, and they're going to go with the whole insanity thing." But Judy Littlefield, as you heard there, very emotional, talking about getting that justice, and so thrilled that they had the verdict that they had in this because of, like I said, the long odyssey that they have been through. And it's only been just barely over 2 years, so it's it's certainly emotional, and Tayo, who wasn't in the courtroom when they read the verdict, she was there earlier in the day, but she left in the middle of the defense's closing arguments, you know, saying, yelling something out and slamming her hand on the wall as she walked out the door because she couldn't handle what the defense was saying and trying to say that he was insane and, you know, what had happened there. So good for her, actually, for leaving feeling that way. And Ralph had no emotion when the verdict was read, while, you know, Kyle's brother and parents were people who cried and held hands and really didn't they didn't have to say much afterwards. Just, I think, again, this is the road, a long road that they went down that they did not want to go down. Absolutely, that's for sure. And this is it. Now he goes to prison, and we'll see what happens in prison, because it's not going to be easy, especially after all of the publicity that this case has received. So, you know, they're going to appeal it, because his attorneys and his family still says that he suffers from psychotic episodes caused by post-traumatic stress disorder and some other factors. But prosecutors said whatever episodes he suffers are self-induced, and good for them for making the point, through alcohol and marijuana abuse. And it was a packed courtroom, standing room only. Standing room only. And even the district attorney, the assistant district attorney, making the point that this is, in the closing arguments, this is not insanity. This is just cold, calculated capital murder. Routh is guilty of capital murder, and he was not by any means insane. The defense continuing to say they're going to appeal, and that he couldn't have realized what he was doing, and that's why that happened. Oof. Coming up on America Tonight, many of you reacted to it, but you can also throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-5283. Coming up, we talk with Kyle Wright, interesting kid who's part of this caravan, this incredible caravan in December of 12 world ambassadors. And wait till you hear what he has to say at 18 years old, what he wants to do in the world and what he's already doing in the world. I mean, just absolutely an amazing, amazing, guy. Just an amazing guy. And I can't wait for you to hear Kyle Wright. And then also, of course, we're talking about some other things as well. The big veto coming out of Washington. You could hear it with a thud. The president vetoing the Keystone XL pipeline. Not a surprise, but it's just the start of what could be a string of many, many vetoes and very little legislation going through. And this was a bipartisan bill, but it's one that the president said, hey, if this comes here, this is not happening. I will veto this. And he was very specific in what he said. He said, the presidential power to veto legislation is one I take seriously, but I also take seriously my responsibility to the American people. And because this act of Congress conflicts with established executive branch procedures and cuts short thorough consideration of issues that could bear on our national interest, including our security, safety, and environment, it's earned my veto. So, of course, Republicans reacted not too favorably in what happened with the veto, including the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, who called the veto a national embarrassment. He said it's a national embarrassment. In the meantime, while this is going on, of course, there is the wrestling match that's going on as to whether or not there's going to be a shutdown with Congress in the next couple of days as the Republicans leaders try to override this veto, but they don't have enough numbers yet anyway. Stay with us, Kyle Wright, Round the Bend. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you in the IRS, 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
I bet he didn't know he's in our virtual green room. He's part of the World Peace Caravan. He's one of the 12 youth ambassadors that, check this out, would I have loved to do this at one point in my life. So this is what this caravan is doing. It's a 12-day camel caravan for world peace. They're going to retrace Queen Sheba's peace journey to King Solomon 3,000 years ago. And it all happens in Jordan, at Petra, Jordan, on December 15th at the end of the year. They're going to travel by camel, like I said, camel, horse, and foot to Jerusalem, Israel, etc. How cool is that? And we have one of the World Peace Caravan members with us, and that would be Kyle Wright from Denver. Hey, Kyle, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Kate. Good to speak with you today.
So how excited were you when you found out you were one of 12 people doing this?
Extremely, extremely excited. You know, I got involved actually by some unconventional means. I met one of the directors of this program, the World Peace Caravan Youth Ambassadors Program, actually on a flight to a board meeting for a nonprofit that I've been working for, and really hit it off with her and got very excited about the organization's mission. And from then forward, I was involved and really excited about all the terrific work that this team is doing.
So there's a lesson in that, Kyle. That means when you never know who you're going to meet on an airplane. Be prepared, right?
So true.
So you get selected, and I sort of gave a little overview of what was happening, but tell us more. What are some of the other places that you're going to go to, and you know, what are some things you're going to do?
So Like you elaborated on, sort of the nucleus of this entire program really revolves around these 12 youth ambassadors and a lot of the social media correspondents and team members that are really helping to get this group out there and get us involved with sort of our personal goals. But there's a terrific aspect in there that really involves the individual projects of each one of these ambassadors. And that looks like we're all focusing on what are called the Sustainable Development Goals, which are the United Nations post-2015 development agenda goals. And I'm personally focusing on the goal of gender equality myself. But a lot of the rest of these ambassadors will be focused on things like the eradication of extreme poverty, education in the developing world, and tackling issues of violence and conflict as well. But that really means that we're going around. We're being very active in our region, and we're from very, very different places all across the globe, and really tackling these projects and designing individual projects to address our goals and our communities. So I am going to be doing a lot of stuff here in Denver, Colorado, in the United States, with my fellow ambassador, Larissa Patola, who is right now going to school at Claremont McKenna in California. And otherwise, you know, I think a lot of the ambassadors are really involved very much so with other organizations and some of the terrific things that are going on. So, you know, we're very active people in social justice and social advocacy, and we're going to be doing quite a bit over the next year prior to this journey to the Dead Sea and through Jordan on this historic trail.
So tell me about you and the gender equality. How did that become so near and dear to you and what you're focusing on?
So I've worked with an organization called Amigos de las Americas, which is a nonprofit that is based out of Houston, Texas for several years now. And they're sort of like a mini Peace Corps. And I was involved in two projects with them over the past 2 years, one in Cajamarca, Peru, for 2 months working on a sanitation youth leadership project, and then this past summer in Oaxaca, Mexico, working on a cultural preservation project, really. And, you know, I saw very personally, very firsthand, a lot of the issues and a lot of the pressures that, in many ways, subjugate young women, particularly internationally, on lots of levels when it comes to opportunity, economic opportunity, education, really just being able to be equally represented socially as well. And I was just struck by this profound sense of injustice due to gender, really, is the only variable. And, you know, I've got two sisters. I'm the eldest sibling to them. And, you know, I've been seeing a lot, you know, unfortunately, since I've come back to the United States, really a lot of unfortunate disadvantages based on gender as the only variable there when it comes to really being able to represent yourself, even in American society. And so, you know, I decided sort of since I got back from that first project in Cajamarca, Peru 2 years ago, to really get on the ground and really start to advocate for this issue and all of its manifestations globally. So, it's been a big effort on my part to try and involve young men in that as well, because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times the prejudices and stereotypes that are handed down generationally really manifest in young men's consciences when they approach young women and when they sort of view their own societal roles. So I've been working hard to combat that, and I was actually a delegate to a United Nations event called the International Day of the Girl this past October, where I got to advocate on a really national level for this issue and really speak with some terrific people and get a lot of my friends involved as well. So it's an ongoing effort, but it's something that I'm very passionate about and very focused on.
So Mexico and Peru really had a great impact on you and your own nuclear family, too. Coming back to the United States, I think it's really interesting that you see that in what's happening in our own culture, too, as well. And what do you hope to, you know, at the end of the day, if you had the most awesome goal, period, what would it be for you?
Oh, you know, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing, the biggest goal for me is ultimately in my lifetime to be part of a community that really does implement this concept of equal gender opportunity. There's not a single community on the planet, not a single nation who has achieved that standard of gender equity. So in my lifetime, that's something that I really look forward to seeing. But for me, I think the really personal goal that leads up to that ultimately is being able to involve young men in this process. Because right now, you know, feminism and a lot of the things revolving around the feminist movement have been led by young women, and they definitely should be, always. That's the main goal here. But young men, I think, in a lot of ways, feel like they don't have a role in feminist movements or in really furthering gender equality. And I really want to make sure that that's a standard, that gender equality involves all genders in my lifetime. I really want to see those types of movements take on more of that type of faith.
You might not have seen this, I don't know, but Patricia Arquette, when she won her Oscar for Boyhood, what was interesting is at the tail end of her acceptance speech, she said that. She talked about gender equality, and she talked about the pay issue. Is that something that you address?
That's big, definitely. You know, in my state here in Colorado, women make 78 cents to every dollar that a man makes. So it's definitely not a foreign issue. It's very present in American communities as well. And that's something that I think is very well tackled through education. And I really do focus on access to education a lot in the work that I do because, you know, you see, when you put young women through school in the developing world and really focus on equal access to educational opportunity in the United States, you see that pay gap start to close. And economic opportunity for both genders really becomes a lot more feasible once education is focused on. So, and I think more of a sustainable long-term way, yes, I do focus on the pay gap, very much so.
So, Kyle, getting ready for this trip and you have some time, are you going to any of the, are you going to the local zoo and asking them if you can ride on the camel to practice that camel ride?
Oh, no, no, that might actually be a wise idea to try that out. I've heard that they're rather temperamental at times, so I should probably get some practice under my belt beforehand. Yeah, I might be stopping by my local zoo very soon.
I love that. Have you been in touch with some of the other ambassadors, or is there any kind of a get-together before you all kind of journey to Jordan?
Yeah, so actually we have conference calls biweekly. We actually have, you know, conference calls every week on Wednesdays, but big group meetings on Wednesdays where we all touch base at this conference platform that the World Peace Caravan runs, and we discuss some of the issues that we're focusing on. An ambassador, we have a highlighted ambassador every month, which really, and they really touch on their issue, their goal that we're speaking about. So I do get actually to speak with my fellow ambassadors pretty frequently through these biweekly calls that we have, and man, I'll tell you right now, we've got some terrific, terrific people working with this organization right now, and I'm very excited to see where we take things over the next year.
Yeah, it is the hope, too, obviously, because of certainly the places that you're going, that there'll be a lot of attention on that, and that'll be able to focus on some of those issues that you've mentioned.
Yes, that's going to be huge. You know, one of our biggest components in this organization is advocacy and awareness, and really involving not just each other and the work that we're doing, but everyone that we know and people who we don't know, complete strangers, to really pay attention and sort of work with us through, you know, sometimes certain degrees of separation, sometimes not, to really tackle these goals. And it, yeah, the advocacy and the awareness piece is huge. So there are definitely, of course, you know, interviews like the one that you're doing with me right now that we really appreciate and find really important to involve people in the work, because that, you know, that's of course what makes it effective and sustainable.
Yeah. All right, as we wrap this up, how many of your friends want to tag along with you?
Oh, so many. Got a lot of great people behind me helping me along every step of the way. And, you know, in a lot of senses, I'll be bringing them along with me.
I love that.
On this trip, yeah.
That's great. Kyle Wright, terrific. I love what you're doing. Thanks so much. World Peace Caravan. Can't wait to hear more about that as we move along and get closer to the day. Thank you for coming on, Kyle.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Kate.
Bye-bye.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Tonight, how you doing in those nooks and crannies? Especially a big shout out to so many of you in the Lone Star State. I just got an avalanche of email from all pockets of the state today. It was one of those kind of days. So it's perfect to have our next guest on. She's in our virtual green room. I hope she's enjoying that latte. We spare no expense here in the virtual green room. Tamara Colbert joins us now, and she's the state director of Texas for the Convention of States Project. And what does that mean? It's really cool, and I think it'd be very cool if other people were doing this. And what she did, and I'm going to let her explain it to us, but she joined a bunch of Texas legislators earlier in the day to, you know, to have these discussions to help bring government back closer to the people. Can you imagine? Have I not been screaming about this since I started doing America Tonight? Tamara, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So first of all, tell us how this all got started.
Well, the Convention of States Project started 18 months ago really as a citizen-led movement to find a constitutional solution for the federal government overstepping its bounds. I mean, that it is that simple. And the Convention of States Project was coming out at the same time that Mark Levin Levin's Liberty Amendments came out. And interestingly enough, Mark Levin and our co-founder for the Convention of States Project, Dr. Michael Ferris, live within 4 miles of each other in Virginia, ran into each other and realized they were working on the same thing and had the same synergy going, except separately. So realizing there's something going on here, and the movement really started escalating, and, you know, you're exactly right. Our nation is at a crossroads. We've long approached the crossroads, and we're on one path. And our choice is either this escalating power of an irresponsible centralized government or leading to the full restoration of liberty and constitutional self-government. That's it. That's where we're at.
Yeah, and in having these conversations today, what did you find out? Because I would imagine you got to dig a little bit deeper.
Well, what's really fantastic is Texas right now is fully on board with utilizing Article 5, which is the constitutional solution to fix the broken federal government. It really is, and our founding fathers were so brilliant by leaving it, consider it a time capsule from 1791 that our founding fathers left to us in Article 5, Section 2, where it gives state legislators not just the authority, but it compels them as their duty when the federal government becomes essentially tyrannical.
Mm-hmm.
It is your duty as a state legislator to stand in between the citizens and the tyranny of the federal government. And we're at that, again, the crossroads. We're at a time now we can use that because government really should be closer to home. And that is the original intent of our founders. They didn't mean for it to be a federal government. The federal government was born out of the states coming together. And so we need to get back to that. We're totally upside down right now. And I really believe the Convention of States Project is leading this whole entire effort. And here in Texas as well. And it was really exciting today to see a half a dozen legislators stand up at a press conference and say, it's time to bring liberty back and we want to lead. Texas wants to lead on this front. And it's just invigorating and inspiring to just a citizen volunteer such as myself.
And I would imagine that that other states are going to get interested. They're going to see what's happening in Texas, and they're going to start to call you up, and they're going to start to ask a lot of questions.
Okay, so as of today, I'll let you know, 26 states have filed Article 5 applications.
Wow.
And we have active leadership and teams of volunteers in all 50 states. And today, as a matter of fact, this morning, we had a team of volunteers in California handing out thousands of petitions to state legislators in California saying, you need to support this. We're asking you to support this. Now, obviously, California is a little bit already off the cliff, so you never know how that's going to work out. However, I will say, in West Virginia, it is totally bipartisan, Democrats and Republicans, 60 co-sponsors for their Article 5 application in the state of West Virginia.
Wow.
There are people in this country, they are doing the right thing, and our citizens are telling us every day. I talk with dozens of people, especially in Texas, and they say, what can I do? This is wrong, but it's got to be me. And the citizens are the only way to save the republic. It's not going to be saved by Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's power to the people. It's, right, you know, Declaration of Independence, we the people, et cetera, et cetera. And people, I think, forget, Tamara, that there are representatives. There are elected representatives. It's not a little fiefdom once you go to Washington, and unfortunately, it's become that. And I would love to see so much of that reversed. I love what you guys are doing. And when you think of some of the abuses, I mean, look at the debt crisis. Look at the regulation out the yang is ridiculous, which, of course, in an entrepreneurial society is crippling to so many people.
You're exactly right. We have a spending and debt crisis, just what you said. We have a regulatory crisis of epic proportions, which includes this crazy burden on small business and congressional attacks on state sovereignty, an absolute refusal of the federal government to protect our sovereign borders, and essentially you've got a federal government that is wanting to do a complete takeover of the entire decision-making process for all states. Tell tell me we aren't at a major point. I hate to use the line in the sand analogy, but it's really true. This is a point that I am so passionate about this, partly because I'm the 12th generation great-granddaughter to Captain Miles Standish.
Wow.
So freedom is in my blood. What can I tell you? I am so passionate about America. It is truly this beacon of light. I have traveled all over the world, Kim. There is nowhere else that you can literally follow your dreams, whatever your God-given skills and talents are. In America, even today, even as tough as it is, you can still achieve those. And I really encourage your listeners, if they want to join a cause for liberty, putting power in the hands of the people, I invite everyone to come to conventionofstates.com and sign up. And I'm your state director in Texas, and I work as hard as anybody else, and I would never not do anything I ask a volunteer to do. I'm leading the way, and it's really exciting to see, you know, two dozen people at the Capitol with me hitting legislators' offices, getting in front of them, saying hello, and they know what we're doing, and they're starting to get it, and I love that, and that's what citizen-led government is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. How important is it to get younger people involved? Because sometimes that's a little harder.
Well, you know what? When you think about the realization that a college student today owes already $153,000 to the federal government, that is their share of the debt of our $19 trillion in debt right now, $153,000.
Wow.
We are shackling all of these beautiful young millennials that are now in college and getting into the workforce with this unbelievable debt that they are going to have to repay. That isn't right. Morally, it's reprehensible, and we should all feel that burden. And, again, we get the government we want. We get the government we participate in. And I don't want anybody to be discouraged. I'm not saying it's going to be easy peasy, because nothing good in life is easy. But if we truly want to get back to constitutional self-governance, we have a constitutional path right in front of us that our founding fathers have laid out for us like nothing, like a red carpet of liberty. Let's get on that red carpet and get some paparazzi, and let's take this country back.
Yeah, and because they knew what would happen. So it's amazing to think that they put that in, realizing what would happen. Tom Jefferson was a states' rights guy. He knew you get drunk with power in one spot, because that's exactly what we were founded on, getting away from the king, right?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, we've got a king right now. I mean, I don't know about you, but as I was driving home from the Capitol, and I'm listening to some news, and I'm hearing people talk about this, and I guess today Barack Obama has decided he's using his phone and his pen, and on February 26th, he's decided he's taking over the Internet.
Yeah.
Because he's thinking there's $11 billion in extra taxes. Wait a second. When you think about that, one of five grievances that the colonists decided to secede from Great Britain was because of a 2-cent tax on tea. 2 cents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
2 cents. And today the tax burden for every single American is $153,000 and change.
Wow, which is crazy.
We should be crazy. We should be in the streets. We should be saying, wait a second. This is my country. And, you know, I believe there are more people who want liberty, but they're looking for action. They're looking for a real pathway. And Convention of States Project, Article 5, it's the pathway. I truly believe it is, and I believe we're going to do it sooner rather than later.
All right, so you heard the lady, you heard Tamara. Boy, go there and you'll learn so much more about what we're talking about and what we've been talking about here on the air for a very long time on America Tonight. Tamara Colbert, thanks so much for joining us on ATM. We appreciate your time. We'll be right back.
Freeze-Dry Guy presents Freeze-Dried Turkey, Freeze-Dried Ham, and the No-Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze-Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock-full of high-quality, great-tasting freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze-Dry Guy's No-Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price, $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze-Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
As the new world order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeSurvivalLighter.com. Again, that's FreeSurvivalLighter.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeSurvivalLighter.com today.
Let me tell you how it will be.
It's the craziest time of the year for anyone involved in finance. Why? Because, tax time is looming, and this is when people panic and suddenly get everything together, no doubt about it. Certified trust and financial advisor Chris Carosa joins us now again. MBA, chief contributing editor to fiduciarynews.com. Very important, that word, and we'll talk about it. And the author of several books on the topic, including 401k. Fiduciary Solutions. Chris, as always, thanks for hopping on the air with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
So here's the thing, and this news blew out the other day. The Wall Street Journal had a big report about what's happening, that the administration is going to endorse some new rules aimed at eliminating conflicts of interest among brokers and retirement advisors that they say are costing retirement investors billions of dollars. So here's what, when we hear that, a lot of people don't understand that. That's gobbledygook to them. So what does that mean to the mere mortal out there who's listening to this?
Well, it means that the government is trying to do something that you should be doing yourself. Maybe we'll start with that. First of all, there's a common misconception out there that these are quote-unquote new rules. In fact, these rules have existed for decades, going back to the 1930s. The issue is that only half of the financial service providers are obligated to obey these rules. The other half have loopholes that allow them to get out of it. And so that's what really they're talking about doing. It's not so much adding new regulations, it's enforcing the existing ones.
Enforcing them. So people in the financial industry, how do they react to this?
Well, the ones that are already obeying the rules, they cheer. The ones who have been skirting the rules, they don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's an interesting word, fiduciary. Fiduciary responsibilities, and especially when it comes to finance and some of the, with investments and whatnot, sometimes there's transparency, certainly with very good investment people and advisors, but sometimes there's not. In your industry, is there a push to police more the guys or the women that aren't so on the up and up, and maybe this is one of the steps in that direction?
Certainly there is. There's the industry, understand, is actually split into several different sub-industries. So the portion of the industry that have been registered investment advisors, those are the people that have always been under this fiduciary obligation. And they're policed by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The brokers, insurance companies, they are kind of getting in through the back door, and they are not under the same regulations as the investment advisors. They have some self-regulatory groups that have been sort of policing them, but it's only been, say, in the last year or so that they've put this move on.
You know, so it's interesting, as you said, since now they've put this move on, brokers, are they, you know, that's that thing that we're talking about, that elusive thing. Are they able to kind of skirt that fiduciary responsibility with their clients in a few instances or no?
Well, let's put it this way. How many typical investors out there would know whether or not the person that's advising them is a broker or a registered investment advisor?
Yeah, they wouldn't know.
Very few.
Yeah.
And then try to ask them, are they a fiduciary or not a fiduciary? Then even fewer people would know that. So there's a lot of confusion in the marketplace. And this, you know, the uniformity, making this rule uniform across the board, kind of helps to address that confusion a little bit. Some people say it doesn't go far enough. For example, some people are saying that brokers should simply not call themselves advisors. They should just call themselves brokers unless they really are advisors and acting under the fiduciary rule. This will make it a lot easier for people because then they'll know anybody who calls themselves an advisor is obligated to this fiduciary rule. But right now, that's not the case.
Yeah. With the new rules now, will that close some of the crazy loopholes that are out there?
Well, you know, that's what everyone's hoping, but I sort of doubt it. Already the Department of Labor is committing itself to allowing exemptions that, you know, really in the traditional sense of fiduciary aren't allowed. The basic idea is this. If you're a fiduciary, you always have to act in the best interests of the client. And that means when you make a trade or any sort of transaction, you cannot profit from that transaction. But the very sense of taking a commission is a form of profiting from a transaction. In a way, you're getting paid twice. And that's what the conflict of interest is, and that's what they're trying to resolve. But the Department of Labor says they're going to allow some exemptions. It really, we're going to have to wait and see in exactly what they're going to allow, but I'm not sure all the loopholes are going to be gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a great question to ask you. And, you know, I have several friends in this industry, and a good friend of the show is named Stephen Kelly. And he always says that, and I bet you roll this way too, that you really need to know the person. And there's a whole process that you should go through. What would you tell people when they're looking for someone to advise them? Because you know this, Chris, everybody's very funny about their money. They don't always tell you everything. And it's hard to dig in there and help them investment-wise when you don't know the full picture.
It's funny. That was actually the very first book I wrote, was How to Select an Investment Advisor.
Yeah.
It's out of print now, but I think you can buy it at some used bookstores. I think that the most important thing to do is, number one, find somebody that you're compatible with. You know, somebody that you enjoy talking to, not just about investments, but about things in general. It's, you know, like you go to a barber because you like to talk to the barber, you know. You go to the doctor because you trust the doctor and you feel comfortable talking to him. Same thing with an investment advisor. You want to be comfortable talking with that person. But beyond that, you want to go to an advisor that serves a lot of people like you, because you don't know the right questions to ask. No matter how smart you are, you don't know the right questions to ask about yourself. You're really relying on the advisor to prompt you to ask the right questions. And the advisor will only know how to do that if that advisor has gone through multiple cases like yours.
Yeah, and there's probably different advisors who are better at different levels or with different people, right?
Oh, certainly. Advisors specialize all the time.
I mean, you know, sometimes it might be high wealth, or it might be your sweet spot is, say, upper middle class, average middle class, whatever. But if you have the bulk of your clients, it's not so much about, it's not so much about the money the investment advisor is making. It is to him or her, but meaning that is really their specialty, so they know, because it's all about repetition, isn't it?
Oh yeah, and each different group of people will have different concerns and needs. You know, ironically, people who make a lot of money have different, and maybe sometimes no, tax concerns because they make so much money. Whereas people making a smaller amount of money really need to focus on the tax implications of what's going on. So you want to pick an advisor that is used to dealing with people that are like you.
Yeah, yes, it's just great advice. And so everybody frets over the 401k. With all that we're talking about, is the 401k kind of in the center of this rule we're talking about?
Well, the 401k is actually better off than other retirement plans. The big issue, and the one that's got the industry up in arms, or at least that the big box manufacturers, so to speak, in the industry, is IRAs. Because right now, the IRAs are like the Wild West. There's no oversight. There's no rules on who could advise IRAs. At least within 401k plans, although you can have non-fiduciary advisors, the plan sponsor is always a fiduciary. So you always have at least one fiduciary in charge of the 401k plan. For an IRA, no, you're in charge of it yourself.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Do you think there's a certain amount of time that people should check in? Because this is funny. I just read an article about how many times, this is a weird analogy, you should weigh yourself, right? Like people that weigh themselves every day have a better chance of losing more weight than the people who weigh themselves occasionally. But if you have a 401k, is it good to just be on top of it yourself as well? And hey, look at what's happening with your mutual fund or whatever's going on.
Well, you know, it's funny. My latest book, Hey, What's My Number? It talks about that. It tells you how often you should be looking at your plan. And really, it's not more than once a year.
Or once a year.
If you have any major life changes. And the reason for that is that, wow, if you measure your weight, you're more likely to lose weight. If you keep looking at your statement, you're more likely to lose money. And I'll give you an example of what happened in the real world. You remember when the market crashed in 2008, 2009?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The people who looked at their statements did something. They got out of stocks. The people who were, you know, deer in the headlights, ostrich head in the sand, didn't even open up their statements. They didn't do anything. Well, the people who didn't do anything are now back to where they should have been.
Wow.
The people who got out of stocks, they're behind. So it really requires a lot of discipline just to sit through whatever the market does and take it. And that's what you got to learn how to do.
Yeah, great stuff. Chris Garosa, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.